Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back. My name is Kit Laser.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. This time, we get an extra special episode. We're going to be talking about physical media, the current landscape. And we've got a very popular returning guest, our friend, Alex. How are you, Alex?
I'm good, man. I'm glad you needed another white guy's opinion.
We do all the time. Just please. God, we don't have that represented enough. Yeah. On the show.
I mean, you set up the bat signal for me where it's just like, like a plaid shirt, some jeans and a pair of Vans.
Yeah.
And I came a running.
We thought it would be interesting. Actually, Alex thought it would be interesting. You texted me a couple of months ago, and said, hey, I really want to come talk about physical media, its place in our current society. And I thought, you know what? That is an excellent discussion. And since we've got the strike going on, we've got plenty of time for ancillary discussions like that. Mild strike update, by the way. The WGA has met again this past Friday with the AMPTP, the governing body that represents the studios in the negotiations. And the studios have presented a new set of terms for the writers, and then they're currently deliberating on that. So sometime this week, as you're listening to this, we'll get an update, potentially a very good one, that maybe the writer's strike has ended. I expect that the Screen Actors Guild strike will end shortly after the writer's strike ends, because a lot of their goals are pretty similar. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the studios, once they have their writers back, are going to want their actors back immediately. So then game on for the Lost coverage.
Game on.
Game on. Wayne's World reference. Awesome.
Man, I'm so excited for people to listen to episode 6 and 7 of our Lost coverage that we recorded like a month ago.
I hope it just hops right back. I hope we didn't kill the steam.
I don't think we did.
You know,
just re-release 1 through 5 again.
Yeah. Just start over.
Yeah. Reboot.
What strike?
That's something to look forward to. And most importantly, we hope that the writers and the actors get all of the items that they need to live and work safely, right? Yep. All of the things on their list. So we're hoping for that. But we got our first sniff of hope as far as the strike goes, because it's the first time they met in like 3 months, right? The strike's been going on for, as I speak now, 103 days.
Dang.
It's the longest strike it's ever been?
No.
For the writers, at least?
No. So the longest strike was in 1988. And the writer's strike then went on for 158 days.
Oh, okay.
And the strike in 1960 that coincided with an actor's strike, the most similar one to what we're experiencing now, was 143 days long, I believe. So I looked all this up the other day. It lasted 51 days after the actors joined.
Okay.
Because like now, the writers struck first, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Empire struck back.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of where we're at. So to start a new precedent, it could go on another couple of months and without breaking any records or anything, which was really disheartening to read.
Yeah.
But again, I think that things are just categorically different in the current landscape. And, but you could take that either way. Like, part of me feared that the strike would have no resolution anytime soon, simply because part of what the writers are asking for is that the streaming services specifically release exact figures on the viewership of their shows and then pay residuals based on the success of the show. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, it's in the news every week that the old show Suits. Are you guys a fan? Do you guys ever watch that show?
Never watched it.
I watched probably 2/3 of the premiere when it aired, kind of just because I think it was like buttressed up against Monday Night Raw or something like this.
Buttressed.
Yeah, so it was just like one of those where I'm like, oh, it's on, but yeah. It felt like it was on forever.
Yeah.
And I never got any further, but it was a little snappy little drama.
It's been crushing it. Like, there's 3 billion minutes viewed is what they keep saying recently about
That's
Suits.
So many Suits.
And I think the collective residuals paid out from Suits to all of the writers has been $3,000. So it's not great for success on streaming. But here's my fear, is that streamers are lying and they can't release those numbers, which are actually abysmal, without their stock tanking as a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
And so they're like, stop asking for that. Like, we'll give you anything else. And that's why the negotiations stalled so quickly, because they're like, we fucking can't or we're toast.
Sure.
So that's been my fear. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's looking good. But in the meantime, guys, we're going to be talking about physical media. Yeah. So let's start this off with just an overview of where you're at currently. How do you feel about physical media? Do you own a bunch of DVDs and Blu-rays? That's what we mean, by the way. We're talking about stuff you can hold, you know.
Laser discs.
Yes.
Beta tapes.
Steve, we'll start with you, because I happen to have purchased your entire collection from you.
You have. So we know the answer to this question already. So I was actually years ago, like in the mid aughts, I was super heavily ingrained in the Blu-ray versus HD DVD war that overtook the nation in the mid aughts.
I lost a lot of boys in that war.
I think some of the finest men served in that war. There was Dallas from Seattle. There was Cleveland from Detroit. Dallas, so. And Tex, I don't remember what Tex was from. So I was really, really into it. I was on Team Blu-ray. And so I like bought all sorts of, I had a massive collection.
What
of
video
physical
game system was the one that used HD? Was it the early Xbox?
Yeah.
It's the 360. You could buy a supplementary attachment that would run through like a micro USB and a power adapter. And that would be your HD DVD player. Like, it was like a separate drive, like an external drive. Then the PS3 had the Blu-ray player actually baked into it and like part of the actual
team
function of it. And that was really a big thing, was you could buy a Blu-ray player for $650 or $500, whatever they were. But for like an extra $100, like
get a PS3.
You snack a PS3 and all of a sudden you've got this multi-purpose system.
Even when the PS3 like went down in price finally, it still was like the best Blu-ray player you could get on the market for a long time.
Yeah.
Which was insane. But yeah, so, and I was a Sony boy. I was into that.
Sony boy.
I was into the Xbox versus Sony game wars of the mid-2000s that was also raging the country. And that was just the side that I picked. And so I had so much physical media. I was super into buying Blu-rays and expanding my collection. But then as the years went on, like sometime around like 2013, I think, is when I stopped buying them, mostly due to like budgetary reasons. Like, money was a little tighter. Like, I can't really like afford all this stuff. Streaming just started to be like normalized. So I kind of started doing streaming more. And then I realized, like, I never get up to open a case. I just like, what's streaming? Okay, I'll watch that. And I was just kind of getting fed up with, and I was moving into apartments.
Moving with them sucks.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was moving into smaller and smaller spaces because, like, you know, now I'm in my apartment. I've got boxes of these Blu-rays that I'm not using. And so finally I was like, I'm just going to get rid of it. And you bought them from me, but yeah,
I did try to give them.
So
what happened was, Steve said, why don't you come over, go through my collection, because he abbreviates everything. It's weird. And
it's totes true.
Come go through my collection, pick out what you want. And so I come over, I'm excited because I'm rebuilding my collection. We'll get to that story later. I'm really excited to do that. And I'm like, I want this, I want this, I want this. And I start looking. Steve has a particular taste that I don't have. Like he's got all of the seasons of Lost on Blu-ray, for instance. He's got Fringe. He's got Firefly.
Yeah. Sci-fi boy.
And I don't own any of this stuff. And so I look at him and I felt really guilty because he had a, I don't know, 400 or 500 Blu-rays or something. A
bunch of them.
It was significant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, he said I can have whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if I just take it all, that's fucking rude. Like, yeah. I just, cause like maybe he's got other friends that might want some stuff.
Sure.
So in a split second decision, I would, and at the time you were going through what you were going through with your family splitting up and stuff. And maybe, yeah. I don't think you were doing great. Like financially, it was like stuff you were still figuring out. And so I just thought, how about I just give you some money and I just take all of this. And you were such a nice guy. You're like, well, I feel a little awkward about that. And I was, anyway, that's what happened. I just took the whole fucking thing. And it ended up being a bunch of like, you're going to be aghast at this, but there was quite a few like WrestleMania Blu-rays and stuff. I had to toss.
Hell yeah.
You toss those?
Oh man. Probably.
Beautiful 1080i footage.
Come on. Oh man. You should have given those back. It wasn't. Those are memories.
It wasn't. I don't know if I tossed them or if I donated them.
The Rock versus John Cena once in a lifetime. And the next year, Rock versus John Cena twice in a lifetime.
It wasn't even like classic. If it was like the original Royal, like some Bam Bam Bigelow shit or something, I would have kept it.
Steve Austin. Yeah.
But it was like,
it was like 25. The Miz
and shit. Yeah, like, yeah, I don't care about that era.
TVPG era, 2011. All that noise.
It was my, when I was getting back into wrestling, I bought the 5 previous years WrestleManias so I could catch up on what happened. Yeah, you need archival
footage. Yeah. And you realize that, oh, if I just turn on the most recent episode of wrestling, they'll just catch me up to everything.
Yeah. So many commercial breaks. Like, if you're just joining us, here's the 15-year legacy of the WWE title. Like,
basically, if you're just joining us. But other than that, you know, it also,
can't believe you,
it all sits proudly on my shelf, right? But yeah, so that's what happened with Steve. I mean, do you have any books or any physical media? Do you collect? How are you doing with CDs?
Dude, I haven't collected CDs ever. I don't know. Like, I'm just not a. When it comes to music, I hopped on pretty early of digitally collecting music. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of
Zune.
How early? Oh my gosh. Like before that, it was
Kazaa.
Yeah. BearShare, Kazaa, yes. All those downloading platforms. LimeWire. Yeah.
FrostWire.
I didn't use FrostWire, but I do remember it.
There's a lot of wires.
Yeah. A lot of them. So I had adopted like digital music pretty early on, like in the early 2000s, maybe late 90s.
Remember when you could burn a CD?
I would burn them all the time.
Yeah. Just a hot mixtape for your friends.
Like, hi, are you a coworker I have? Let me burn you a CD of my favorite songs this year that you unsolicited.
Boner Jams 08.
I love the way you phrase when you discovered pirating. Because when you're just like, I hopped on, I was an early adopter to digital music. And it's just like through things like Napster and Kazaa. It's like, no, you're not bullshitting me. I'm like, no, I know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't paying for this music.
Right.
You know that old ad, like you wouldn't steal a car.
You wouldn't download a car.
It's like I would download a car if I could.
3D printers. Yeah.
There's actually an interesting conversation I'm not qualified to have about how piracy is actually really good for art. I've seen people claiming that a lot recently, and I don't know the finer points of the talk.
We can get into that here, I think.
Oh, you have one.
Well, I think it's relevant from a sense of like people see it as like almost like a moral advocacy for art preservation.
Curation and So, Alex, where do you stand? How's your physical media going?
It's one of those things where, like, I waffled for a while. Like, when I was younger, like, mid-teens, it was always something that was around. Like, my dad bought a lot of, VHSs and things like that. And then, so it was kind of always, like, part of me in a way. And so then by the time I was, like, in my teens and, like, mowing lawns for cash and stuff like that, that's, like, all I spent my money on, which is, like, DVDs. Like, you know, go to Media Play, Best Buy, like, Suncoast at the mall and stuff like that. And
go every Tuesday when the new releases came out?
Not that crazy, but it'd be, like, on weekends or, like, you know.
Do you remember Phil's Records?
Were you a fan? I remember Phil's. Yeah, that's still kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on, well, like, his fifth location. I
remember the original location in Latonia there.
Yeah. Well, there's the Latonia one, and there's the one in Fort Mitchell, too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so, you know, you do stuff like that. But then I started working at GameStop when I was 18. And right around that time was both at the peak and sudden end of when they were taking DVDs in trade. And you were just took in everything that would come through, you know, give like a quarter, a buck for whatever. And you'd sell them, you would sell them back for like $5-6, whatever, but like employee discount, you just start spending all my money on that.
Yeah.
And so I amassed a massive like DVD collection just ahead of Blu-rays. that I ended up just like parting with in between moves and running out of money. And it becomes a thing that's like, I have these things I can sell. Got out of it for a while because, like you guys said, moving with them sucks.
Yeah, they're ridiculously heavy, like shockingly heavy.
And they fill up a box real quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no good way to stack them.
Or they don't, but then like the box is way heavier than you think. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. As far as like, oh, yeah. I fill it halfway with Blu-rays and I'm like, oh, fuck.
I always love when you're packing your DVDs. If all DVDs or Blu-rays follow the same packaging, mm-hmm. it would be fine. But then you get like the special collector's edition that has a steel book and it's always a mm-hmm. different size.
The only kind I hate together. Are the, I forget what it's called, but it's
the paper ones.
They like snap open.
Yeah.
Fuck those.
It's like a cardboard yeah, front like, with like a little like plastic clips.
Yeah, they were, I have a couple that are still like that. Yeah. But got out of it for a while because moving with them sucks.
Yeah.
And really like condensed it down a lot. And then just within the last year, really got back into it because got back into like home theater stuff.
Yeah.
And then found out like really started looking into the 4K stuff. Cause for a while I was like, who gives a shit? Like can't really tell a big difference. And then I saw it from the preservation standpoint, like we were talking about with piracy, where I was seeing like these 50, 60, 70, 80 year old films that I adore look like they're maybe 20 years old.
Yeah.
Like at worst. And I was like, oh, I get it now. And so because it started becoming from like a weird historical preservation standpoint where it's like, I want to get these incredibly old movies that look like they were filmed yesterday, you know, and really appreciate that aspect of it while also still picking up things that I love. But I've something like I've really gotten into and really started becoming like a weird advocate for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, same. So I'm the same as you. I didn't work at GameStop for a long time. I know yeah.
I was there for
you danced around it. You were there a long time.
For a long time.
Yeah. But I also my mom and dad had a bunch of Disney VHS. Mm-hmm. I can remember even
giant
like
foam like white yes. cases.
Early bootlegs too, yeah. which I didn't realize at the time. But my dad, do you remember those VHS cases that were just all black?
Yep.
Yeah. Solid black. Yeah, you could yeah. buy mm-hmm. like for your own tape. I had a bunch of those with just like silver Sharpie written on the side yep. that said Dick Tracy, you know? And as a kid, I'm like, they could have put more effort into this poster art. And now I'm like, oh, my dad had bootlegs.
Yeah. You know? Doing the whole like running a VC, like written one. Did you? So you lived close to like the movie warehouse.
Movie
right?
warehouse yeah, was so my, were,
yeah,
my
was, jam. That was mine too. It was like movie warehouse was first, Blockbuster was second.
Yeah.
By and then far. There was movie gallery in Latonia.
And Rob's but video they, way down.
Oh, God. Rob's video is scooters and tanning beds. Yes. But with movie gallery, they would always put the WrestleManias behind the wrong cases. So I tried to rent WrestleMania 12 like three different times and came home with 11 every time.
Miserable. That's just because you didn't know your Roman numerals.
No, it's because like they kept everything, I think, behind a lot of the stuff yeah. where they'd pull it out and like you'd get the empty case they put it
trying
in.
Trying to get whatever. Your mom to rent you Jerry Springer's Too Hot for TV.
And coming home with Maury's, you know.
I swear, it's not what you think.
It's not what you think.
I remember distinctly.
I wanted Brave Little Toaster.
I think I've told you this story before. Brave Little Toaster's worse for kids. where I tried to rent Quills, the Jeffrey Rush movie about Marquis de Sade.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know if you've ever seen it, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of like dark things in it, including mm-hmm. like sex, but not even like normal sex, like yeah. Marquis de Sade sex. And, but anyway, I'm like 11 and I come up to the counter, like, I would like to rent Quills, please. And my mom's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's about writing,
it's
I guess.
It's a movie about feathers.
And the guy, fucking Brad, the guy working the counter.
Fucking Brad.
Because I was there every day for hours. So I knew these guys. He yeah. betrayed me. He looks right at my mom and he's like, I don't think you should watch Quills. Yeah, yeah. Is what it's about. And I was like, you son of a
man. It's never fun being the Brad if you know the kid. But like when you don't know the kid, it's a fuck ton of fun being the Brad. Yeah, it's a lot of fun being
when
the Brad.
When I worked in the movie theater, that was the most fun thing. It was to yes, get kids out of be the 17 Brad. Like rated R movies. Like, mm-hmm. oh, man, I live for that shit. Like,
oh, hello. You guys are bastards.
You are the only employees I'm allowed to be a dick to.
Hello, small child. Can I speak to your mother about Grand Theft Auto 5, please?
You son of a bitch.
What made yep. me so mad is my mom didn't actually care. She mm-hmm. was just like morally put in a spot in front of these other adults yeah. where she's like, oh, this guy thinks I should care. So now I have to be like,
put between a quills and a hard place.
I'm like, mom, I sat on the floor and watched American History X in the fucking living room last night.
That movie teaches you something.
It does. I'm just saying, like,
I learned a lot.
Yeah. Hate is baggage. So I had the same childhood, though, where I would go to Phil's Records all the time. Andy and I were really close.
Sure.
And Andy's family had some money and mine didn't. So I would very rarely have the money to like spend with him, but I'd have like $20, and Andy had like a really impressive collection. He had every single video game system that ever came out and all the handhelds. I mean, the guy, I was so jealous, but I loved buying CDs was my first physical media thing because I was obsessed with music. I thought I was going to be a rock star. And back then we had those like zipper up cases where like all little pockets for your CDs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I put my DVDs for a while when I was in high school, like a monster.
Oh God, that makes me want to puke.
I know. Oh, trust me. As soon as I turned 18, I was like, this is bad.
When he gave me his collection, he gave me one of those CD cases. Yeah, and I had to put all the cases DVDs anymore. Back. That's right. Geez.
Like, do you want snakes on a plane?
That's
on DVD?
Where the wrestling ones were. They wouldn't. They didn't even have cases. They were just in there. It wasn't my fault. What am I going to do with that? So I bought all these CDs. I adored them. And then over time, we started burning them and ripping them. And then iPods came out. But in my late teens, maybe 16 or so, I started buying all these DVDs. Because back then, that was such a joy. Like your friend would come over.
Yeah.
He would hand you a DVD of like SLC Punk or Gummo or something bizarre. And you'd be like, it was like this thing you could hold and you couldn't rent it at the movie warehouse. It was like there was no streaming or internet of it. It was just like, if you knew a fucking weird guy that had a copy of Gummo or Romper Stomper or something, like you were in. And if you didn't know that weird guy, you were out. And it made it special. And so I started collecting. I had a massive, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 DVDs and then early Blu-rays by the time I was 18 or 19. But I also had a rabid opioid addiction. And it's all I would do is snort my pills, smoke cigarettes and weed and watch movies. That's all. I did not work. Because I was like a thief and stuff. So I didn't have to do any of that. I live in my girlfriend's parents' house and I'm watching all these movies and stuff all the time. And one day I got desperate enough. I took that entire fucking collection and all my books. I collected a ton of books too. It's so ridiculous to think about it now. I'm like almost homeless. I'm couch surfing and everybody who would let me crash at their place. I've got these giant Tupperwares of autographed novels and giant Tupperwares of Blu-rays and DVDs and like a duffel bag of clothes.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And they're like, this guy's got his priorities. So finally, I'm dope sick. I'm sad.
Man, is that SLC Punk in there?
Exactly.
Dude, well, you that can guy's live got Gummo.
So I take it to Half Price Books. All my books, all my movies, I get like $300 for $6,000 of stuff.
Yeah.
And I get high for a day.
Yeah.
I come home with a bunch of dope, all happy, and then realize, what am I going to do now?
Right.
I like to get high and watch movies.
Right.
So then I get super depressed. And I think that's accelerated my like descent into actual like madness was the fact that like that was like a symbolic, okay, I've sacrificed everything I care about for this drug now. So when I got sober, I was probably 2 or 3 years sober before I started buying DVDs and Blu-rays again. My son was an infant in the stroller. I lived in Erlanger by the last movie shop in Northern Kentucky that I'm aware
of.
Family Video. Yeah. I lived right next door to Family Video.
Okay.
And Mason would only go to sleep if I pushed him in his stroller. And so I had this routine where I would walk around the parking lot, like the apartment complex with him in his stroller. And I would walk up to Family Video and he'd be asleep by then. And they had 3 Blu-rays for $21.
Okay.
And I would just go through those every other day.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
And buy it. And that's how I started getting my collection back. And it was kind of like the symbolism of me regaining myself when I was buying them at the time. I didn't know like physical media was going to make a resurgence or anything. It just felt right. I've always just liked looking at them. Like I blind buy movies all the time.
I can't anymore.
All the time.
I can't do that.
I've got like 80 movies I own, unwrapped, never watched them. But they're like classics and stuff usually. Sure. It's like Kurosawa's Ran or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, anyway, so that's what happened. Now, the collection is bigger and better than it's ever been.
There you go.
I've got, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000
Blue.
I stopped buying DVDs. It really bothers me to buy a DVD.
Yeah, I mean, like you're going like two generations back and that sort of said, you know, like there's certain things that are like only available on DVD where like for me, it's like there's certain things where it's like, okay, the line has stopped here, but like, you know, maybe one day. But yeah, I think the last DVD I bought was like a year ago. I bought Paper Moon. I found it in Half Price Books.
Yeah, I've still never watched Paper Moon.
Man, you got to get on it.
But like you said, though, it's not just the fact that like some nerds like to own them, like vinyl made a comeback, you know, and it's just kind of neat. But like I think unlike vinyl, unless you could make an argument for it, I guess, but the movies are actually better. Like you were saying, if you get the right, like, file format, compression form, mm-hmm. like, directors come out with like remastered versions,
yeah.
with approved aspect ratios, the sound redone, especially Criterion's great about this mm-hmm. stuff, like a true 4K Blu-ray, with a 4K player and a 4K TV.
Yeah.
You cannot get that kind of quality on streaming.
It's, well, because of the compression.
It's currently impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't do anything like that. Cause that's the thing is like, when you look at 4K streaming, I saw it get equated to like streaming something in 4K on Netflix over what is just like a standard average, like internet connection is basically the same as watching the Blu-ray of it on a disc where mm-hmm. like you're getting what would either equate to of the highest end of the lower version or the lowest end of the highest version.
Right.
And so you're losing all that because it's one of those where if you like subscribe to Disney Plus and you can download episodes to stuff, there are things where it's like whole hour and a half, 2 hour movies that are like not even a gig when you download it. And it's, yeah. you think about like that compression and what you're losing in there. And yeah, that's one of the big benefits of getting yeah. anything on the disc is.
So I've got a 4K TV, mm-hmm. A Sonos surround sound system for the sound, that for that Dolby baby, that 5.1, all that shit.
Yeah.
I got the Playbase, the two Play Ones, and a subwoofer. And I don't honestly, I'll be honest, I don't mm-hmm. pop in my Blu-rays very often.
Sure.
Like Steve was saying, there's a laziness to it, even though my collection's right there. Like yeah. last night,
yeah,
he's like, hey man, we got to watch Forrest Gump for the podcast. I own Forrest Gump mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I look at my Apple TV, I hold the little microphone, I go, Forrest Gump. And it says,
streaming on Paramount.
It's on Showtime or whatever.
Showtime, yeah.
Oh, man. And I'm like, play, rather than get up and right. pop it in.
Probably have to open it.
But if it's something, if it's a fucking stunning, gorgeous yeah. movie, if it's like Fury Road or something like mm-hmm. that, which is my go-to for stunning, gorgeous, then I'm going for the 4K Blu-ray every yeah. time. You know, I'm going to get my ass up and pop it in the PS5, but... I watch a lot of stuff that I own. I have done, okay, this is going to make me sound like a terrible person. I have rented a movie for $3.99 mm-hmm. rather than get up and walk 7 feet.
What are you doing?
And pull my Blu-ray out.
We live two very different lives.
It's 11:30 p.m., my guy.
I can't use my feet.
Oh, my God.
No.
I got to open the box.
I used to be.
I'm not proud of that.
I'm not proud of that. I used to, in the dying days of Blockbuster, I got their subscription service. I don't know if you remember, they had a subscription service at the end. And I would go up, select a random Blu-ray that I was interested in. I would take it home where I had a Blu-ray ripper and I would rip the Blu-ray onto my computer and then return it like within an hour. Like, thanks. Nice. I was just creating. I have a hard drive in my desk right behind me. That's just a bunch of Blu-ray quality ripped movies that I ripped off of Blockbuster.
Never even watched.
some of them, no, I never watched. You're right. I haven't watched some of them. But yeah, like those files are like 50 to 100 gigs. Like,
yeah.
like a direct rip from a Blu-ray is that big of a file size. And yeah. to your point, Alex, like it's not that if you're streaming.
No, well, not in the slightest.
And you jest, but like what we were talking about earlier, the role of piracy and physical media in like, because Netflix... or more specifically, yeah, Netflix, actually, but HBO Max, all these places, mm-hmm. they will remove one of their shows or one of their original movies from their streaming service without licensing it to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't watch the fucking shit anywhere yeah. except for the nerds like us that bought the limited physical release, which was so dumb at the time. People were making fun of me. Like, why do you own Westworld season one? That's so dumb.
Because we're going to review it for the podcast.
why do you own it? And I'm like, I don't know. I just like the box look cool. I love yeah. the show. Now that shit's taken off of HBO.
Ha! One of the things like the.
Is it really? Do they take Westworld yes. off of Max?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Why?
I'm not. No, I mean, Westworld's one of the ones. They're going to license it probably to like Netflix or something later.
Or like, I think it'd be a thing, especially during the
strike. Zaslav's losing his mind.
Well, I think the argument would be to take it off of Max and then license it out to like an AMC mm-hmm. or a cable broadcast yeah. station, like
some kind of version of syndication or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that would probably be more.
That's their goal for a lot of this stuff, but mm-hmm. some of it's just never to be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, there's all kinds of movies you can't buy a physical copy of. Back to Pirate Boy over here. Yar. But you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's because some fucking champion did that 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just like slips by all the copyright.
Like the there's a movie, I forget what it's called. It's got Tobey Maguire and Leonardo DiCaprio from the early 90s.
What is that called?
And they act terrible
the
in it.
The Good Son?
No.
That's
Macaulay Culkin.
I forget what it's called, but they hate the movie. And they wanted it because the director said it was going to be a short film and he turned it into a feature film. And they act like terrible people in it. The rumor is that it's really close to how they actually are. And that's why they hate it so much. Long story short, you can't find that movie anywhere. Showing it, like licensing it in America, is illegal because they won the lawsuit or whatever. But you can buy the Blu-ray in like Australia. Mm-hmm. But it's on fucking YouTube is where I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It's because some champion was like, this is art we should all have access to. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of movies like that. The original Fantastic Four, that was just like a tax write-off, but directed by Roger Corman or whatever. That's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So I think it does play a role, not just for movie nerds, but for like art curation in general.
Yeah. Going back a step, even more recently with Max, I saw they were taking down Over the Garden Wall, which I don't know if you've seen that.
I saw the news about that. I'm not familiar with the movie.
Have you seen it, Steve?
No.
You would love it, I think, specifically. But it is...
Does it suck?
No, it's amazing. Jesus Christ.
Fuck you, Chris.
Right?
God.
I'm right here.
I've seen your Blu-ray collection.
So it was an Emmy award winning series of animated shorts. They're each like, I think
there's 12 of them,
and I think there's like 10 minutes each. But they're taking it down from Max, apparently, right as it's getting to be like that time to watch it, because it's very like autumn setting, very Halloween themed, very like that kind of time. But the last time it had a physical release in North America was a limited run DVD back in like when it came out. So it's one of those things we're going back to, like, from a preservation standpoint and from just an accessibility standpoint, we're seeing it, you know, with like right away. It's not just, you know, Netflix taking down. Netflix were like, oh, we're not going to do House of Cards anymore. You know, it's like stuff that hasn't seen the light of day in so long. It's just like, you know, at risk of being lost. And like, that's just in our generation.
Yes.
Yeah. Disney's pulling out of a physical in Australia too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All my shit's going to skyrocket in value.
Right.
I'm actually looking at a copy of one of my favorite movies, The Handmaiden. That's a Park Chan-wook film. There is no American Blu-ray of it available anymore. Okay. It's out of print. So you have to buy it. And I don't have so there's Region A players, which is what we have in America, and then Region B players, which is elsewhere.
Such a dumb concept.
And so I don't have a Region B player. Like, a Region Free player is like $400 or something. I'm not there. However, I did learn that, you probably know this, but I learned this like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. They can't region lock 4K.
Yeah.
So if there is a 4K available, I bought a 4K Old Boy and fucking cheated the system. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Paid like $80 for the steelbook or something. Yeah. I was like, fuck it. But there is no 4K for The Handmaiden, and it makes me very upset. Mm-hmm. So please do that. It is on Prime Video, but I really want the Blu-ray.
On the topic of 4K Park Chan-wook, did you see Decision to Leave's getting one?
I bought...
Like the actual like 4K. Like
4K, Decision. No. I do own the Blu-ray, but I don't have
I think Decision Leaves getting a 4K release like this year or next year.
Because of what happened to all his other films, I immediately bought Decision to Leave on Blu-ray. Yeah. Like, while these are hot.
When you loved it so much.
I did love it so much. Five stars, baby. That's my favorite director.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of movies you literally can't even buy the Blu-ray or DVD for. Because all the time I'll look. And like The Handmaiden Region A Blu-ray, it's like $600 on eBay.
Jesus.
It's fucking bonkers, man.
Jeez.
Bonkers, because they go out of print. Like, look up Dogma on Blu-ray.
Yeah. That's a whole Weinstein distribution issue, too.
He refuses to let go of the licensing of it, and which probably won't happen until he dies, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Hopefully be soon. Yeah.
One can hope.
That dream can come true.
I was gonna say, from like the digital standpoint, like, I get it, like, there's that sheer like general laziness that you talked about too, where it's like, it's easier if it's on Paramount or whatever to stream something, you know. The big thing for me is it's the fact that at any point, like, that digital library that you've accumulated can be revoked,
even the ones that you bought.
You're not paying, it's in the user license.
You're licensing it.
It's a really, really, really long lease.
Yes.
Basically, that if, you know, if your internet goes out, what if like Amazon just decides like, Prime Video, not a thing anymore. You know, you lose all that stuff. And so like, it's nice to like they physically own it and yeah. have it.
Because you like, can't take it from me.
Right.
Unless they break in and right. literally take it, which is right. possible.
And, you know, get like Don Cheadle, let off a big EMP, internet goes down.
So like super nerds, like even nerdier than me, because yeah. I've had this physical media argument online many times, sure. as you can imagine, as a proponent of physical media. And there's the argument of, well, you don't actually own the digital movies. And what if your internet goes out? There is an argument I can't say anything to, and mm-hmm. that is the ultra nerd status. Mm-hmm. And these are guys that are saying, no. I'm saying you rip those movies, you put them on a private server, a yeah. private hard drive.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate because it's not taking up space in my house.
Sure.
But, Plex but also no yeah. one else can take it.
And then the hard drive will crash and they don't have a backup.
Yeah, get them. Get
you know, this is true.
I don't know. Well, I don't know any of that stuff.
Well,
works.
I feel like if you're at that level of nerd, you're the type of nerd that's throwing up backups. And
oh, sure. Likely. But still, it's not totally fail safe, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
House fire.
Yeah, you know, then everything's melted. But insurance, you know, and just like get State Farm on the phone. Like, yeah,
I no, have. I mean, house fire for the hard drive.
Oh, yeah. There yeah. you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get my collection back. Get that shit insured. I don't. I should at this point. I mean, I've got some yeah. expensive pieces in there.
Yeah.
I got the Wong Kar Wai full box set. Yeah.
Now you're just making up words.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It can be tough out there as we try to navigate the many twists and turns that life throws our way. Not every problem we face has an obvious or easy solution, but talking through these issues can always bring major benefits. So whether you're dealing with a career change, relationship help, or just getting used to your new normal, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. I myself have benefited from therapy. I have benefited from BetterHelp. I was struggling to find myself and figure out who I was post-divorce. BetterHelp matched me with an amazing therapist who taught me all about codependency, what it was, and ways I can combat it and realize my whole true self. So if it sounds like therapy is the right move for you, then give BetterHelp a try. It's online, convenient, flexible, and can work with your schedule. Filling out a brief questionnaire is all it takes to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. To start your own therapy journey, visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Stream Fiends. Over here at Streaming Things, we like to give a special shout out to all of our members of our Patreon, but we want to specifically shout out our super patrons for the month of August. So thank you, Becky Ladusky, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Giancarlo Gasparin, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Little Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Trey Barrera, Conrad, David Malfara, Professor Beth RN, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, The Pedal Peddler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much, and back to the show.
That's like the biggest thing that I miss personally about my lack of physical media now is the access to all of like the DVD extras that would come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing. Digital copies hardly ever have that extra stuff.
Yeah, hardly ever. And I feel like that's a part of like the whole process of movies that will be lost over time, because, you know, they're not going to make that shit anymore because no one's buying DVDs.
Right. And yeah, are they still like compiling B-roll and stuff as much? Like, well, I guess they are now because the physical media is making a resurgence, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's happening as wide scale, because they would do that shit for like, we made a movie called Wag the Dog, and it's like, we got all the BTS director's commentary for the mid-level drama that isn't being made anymore.
Well, they would have like full documentaries.
Full documentaries. You get to like interview, like, I'm the sound guy that worked on Cars. Yeah. This is my philosophies for doing the sound design on Cars.
Yeah.
And like,
the character design for Towmator.
Yeah, like, interesting.
The bonus features of Sin City was what got me into like, oh, I want to make movies.
Yeah,
because, you know, he's like Robert Rodriguez in his basement, just with After Effects open on a massive like curves. He's like, yeah, you know, this is just what I'm doing. And he's like, oh, yeah, I had to make the car look like it's spinning. I just, you know, craned up and spun the car and craned down. I'm like, you're a genius, and I love this, and I want to do this. Dude, you know, that, like, yeah,
it was wild walking through that studio and seeing, like, he's like, here's the room where the entirety of Sin City was filmed. And it's not a huge room. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's maybe
like an elementary school gymnasium.
Yeah.
With like just one wall as a giant green screen. And it's like, what the fuck?
That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing I miss. And there was also, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was an art to a DVD menu.
That is out the window.
Yeah.
That's gone.
That is a type of a line of work that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad because I like, just the way, like, do you remember the Indiana Jones trilogy DVD menus where it's like, oh, I want to, you would click on the special features and then they would do like a, oh, we're going through the mine cart. Now we're at this menu. Like, that sort of like interconnectivity between the pages was such a work of art that doesn't exist anymore.
Not only that, but like the pop culture resonance of just the title menu.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I made love to the title menu of The Departed, you know?
Just like ASMR whispering, just like, ship up to Boston for me.
Climbing up the top side and I lost my legs. Over and over, dude. Or like fell asleep high to like the planet Earth.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Welcome to planet Earth. Or like, do you remember how some DVDs would have like a mysterious page that you had to like, well, you press up 3, 4, 9 on your remote in this particular sub menu and it'll open up a secret.
No,
video. I don't remember how to do it, but on the Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within DVD, which I continue to say is the only Final Fantasy anything I've ever finished, is
same.
There's a certain thing you can do in the menu where you go to like one sub menu and you go down to like some weird active frame that you can't tell is actually part of the menu. But if you select it, it's a fully animated rendition of the characters in the movie doing Thriller.
Yeah, that type of shit. Yeah.
I had no idea that anything like this existed.
The one that I think Singer of is
DVD had karaoke mode.
Did it really?
Yeah, where it had like popular music from the actual movie itself, and it would actually do like a karaoke mode for
you. So good. Oh my god. The one that I was thinking of was in Star Wars Episode II: Attack of the Clones. You can go to a specific menu and do some sort of random string of prompts from the remote, and it would bring up a short little scene of. Because it had digital, that was the first movie with a digital Yoda.
Oh, yeah.
And it had like the digital Yoda, and there's like a bunch of digital clones. And then they like start going, and then like the little Yoda's like doing like
no way
gang signs and like dancing around.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Lucas had a ball with that.
You can find that on YouTube. Someone like put like the Yoda dance.
Sure.
That. You can see it.
But it's not as magical.
Yeah. No. When you stumble across it, like, wait, you do what? And then you put in the inputs. You're like, whoa, that worked. No way. I feel like I'm part of some fraternity that knows
I'm taking this. Notes to remember to make a TikTok video about secret DVD menus.
That's a good topic.
There you go.
I'm having my mind blown right now.
I don't know if I can Google real quick secret DVD menus.
You're going to get to some other shit.
So I brought some perhaps startling statistics for the two of you regarding physical media while you're Googling this. So this is for the week ending of August 5th. And I know you can kind of like eyeball it. So I'm going to curve it in case, you know.
No, I don't.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Chicken scratch to me,
buddy. Could you guess? That's what it looks like. Could you guess the percentage for week ending August 5th of 2023 in the United States, the percentage of physical media movie sales that DVDs took up?
I'm going to be, I think it's disappointingly high. Or maybe it's what it sounds like and it's low.
Can you repeat that for me real quick?
Yes, yes. For the week ending of August 5th, 2023 in the United States, for physical media sales regarding movies, the percentage of the sales, so out of 100, that DVDs occupied.
Yeah, so like for all the movies of that were sold, what percentage was DVDs?
I'm going to say...
I would say 34.
I'm going to go 45.
48.4%.
That's gross.
Was DVDs. Blu-rays were 30.7 and 4K UHD was 20.9.
Wow.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 actually was almost an even split between the three formats. 34%, 34% for 4K and Blu-ray and 32% for DVD.
Because I think of the people that... DVDs are just cheaper.
Well, have you seen
they're cheaper and they're a lot more like easily accessible now? Because I know for the longest time, like the PlayStation 2 was the highest selling console year over year, like up until like 2015.
So one of the things, two things really, is I don't know if you've seen this. Walmart has actually been doing their DVD sized cases of things that are, it's the 4K disc, the Blu-ray, the DVD, and the digital copy.
Yeah, there's like the multi-format is what they call that, right?
Yeah, but it's just everything.
Yeah.
And but there was that. And then
Walmart, I hate because they predominantly sell DVDs, even if they're brand new movies. Because if I stop in that aisle, like I always do in any superstore, I always stop by the movies. I fucking hate Walmarts because it's like 80% DVDs.
I don't have the article handy. There's one where I think Walmart is opening up negotiations with a group. It's called like SDS. And I think it's like Universal and another studio that likes to partner with retailers to actually like work with them on their physical media distribution and like their aisles and setups and stuff like that.
Well, Best Buy was actually removing their physical media from movies.
I heard that in some stores. Mine's still kicking.
You have the one in Florence, right?
No, I got I have one over in more towards the west side.
I think I've been to that, and it's got an extensive movie collection.
There were two. There was one.
I went to a random Best Buy in West Ohio and was like,
there's one. In, if you ever want the closest equivalent in the area to a Best Buy in the 90s, it is the Best Buy at Waterstone Plaza around Fairfield.
Circuit City?
I mean, kind of, yeah. Where it's just like you actually walk in and like there's still someone sampling the car audio section.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, yeah. Like, okay. Like, cool. There's a Squire guitar.
My guy. Yeah. They even had a whole Shout Factory section.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. Like, I was like, oh, this is fucking crazy. Because at Florence Best Buy, there's only like two shelves.
Not a whole lot. Yeah.
But I still spend a couple hundred every time I go in that bitch. But at the same time that Best Buy is removing this, Target is removing movie sections. I feel like you said, the whole reason for this episode is that there is a kind of a resurgence.
Well, I think amidst the strike, that conversation's coming up more because we are seeing like streaming residuals are hurting the people that are actually like producing it. They're making this relevant to more Steve's interest, Paramount, with canceling Star Trek Prodigy and then removing it from Paramount Plus. Is like just subsequently and kind of like not retconning it, but kind of just acting like, yeah, we don't know what that is. But like splitting the seasons up between like the DVD releases and things like that. You know, it's one of those where it's just like, hey, you don't know how long this stuff's going to be up. How long is it going to last? How long is somebody going to support it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
And for me, it's like I've seen it too many times where I was like, I'll buy that when it goes. Because initially, I hate spending $34 on a Blu-ray.
That's miserable.
I really do. Yeah.
It's way too much.
However, when... If you wait for it to get cheaper, because it'll be $12 in a year, right? Mm-hmm. Right? No, not always.
Not always.
Sometimes it will be $140 on eBay, and that's the only place you can get it now because it's out of print. So now, if I have the money, I'm getting that shit. I pre-order steelbooks specifically are really like hot ticket items. Like I have pre-orders for Across the Spider-Verse. There's a re-release, a 4K release of The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. And now that William Friedkin just passed away recently, I'm instantly pre-ordered that shit.
Well, and that's the steelbook like looks cakes. A lot better than the actual cover.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, the cover for The Exorcist looks real bad. And you should make that the thumbnail for the show.
And to your point, I tried to buy copies of To Live and Die in L.A. and Sorcerer and...
Okay,
what's his other really, really good movie that everybody loves? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There is no Blu-ray copy that you can find unless it's from like England and I have to check, see what the region is. And it's just like, why?
Yeah, it's tricky.
This is like a really famous movie. Like I know there's like business licensing reasons and stuff, but it's frustrating. It's like, I just want to watch the fucking movie and it's not on streamers anywhere. And so I was like, fuck it, I'll buy the Blu-ray and I can't buy that either. John Woo's films, like Chinese films, Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
The Killer. I can't buy this shit on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. I can't.
Right.
And it's not streaming anywhere. I literally can't watch it. There's no
North American distribution rights because it probably wouldn't make any money to do it. Or if they do it, it'll be like one of 3,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like I literally have never seen Hard Boiled and I can't. And that's what's fucked up about like that's weird in the age that we live in. Yeah. And everybody online is like, download it, idiot, torrent, right? And I'm not like morally opposed to that. I just literally don't know how. And I refuse to like learn. I'm not doing it because that'll be a rabbit hole I don't want to go in, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just not that guy.
I get it.
I'm not that guy, pal.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy, buddy.
I don't even have a Facebook. You know what I mean? I'm just not that guy.
I don't torrent things anymore because I've gotten to a place in my life where I don't have to. Mm-hmm. Like, but when people are like pirating, it's always kind of a like, do you need to do it? Are you just doing it for fun? Like, because I want to be able to give money to the people that made the movie and I want to support them by purchasing things. But also, like someone said a long time ago, the biggest problem with piracy at large is just merely a lack of access. Like, mm-hmm. it's not easy for people to access these things, so they just download them.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that always like struck with me. Like, if you make your properties as easy as possible for people to consume, the likelihood of it being pirated will decrease. It's not going to go away, mm-hmm. but it will become a lot lower the more barriers you put up for people.
And you see it with like video game emulation, you know, where mm-hmm. I think from a certain perspective, I think we as just a culture, as just like as humanity, are really, really bad about art preservation beyond paintings. You know, or beyond like poetry and writing and literature, you know, we don't factor in movies. We don't factor in shows. We don't factor in things like video games, God forbid, because, you know, it's not really seen in the same light. We don't see it as art. We don't see it as forms of creation in the majority. And so, yeah, it's things like that where like you see it with like video game emulation, specifically with Nintendo, you know, where people are like, the first time I ever played Chrono Trigger, the first time I ever played Super Mario RPG, first time I played Mario Kart, were all emulated versions because you couldn't find them, you know, because you didn't just SNESs didn't just grow on trees in like 98.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, I wish they would grow on trees.
That'd be great.
I'd plant one right now. Yeah. I have one of those essentially authorized emulators where it's like the SNES in the little box that has like 50 SNES games on it. Yeah,
like the SNES classics.
The classics. Yeah, yeah. I have one of those. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Contra is really fucking hard, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, games were stupid, dumb hard back then.
Well, that was, they were crossing the line between getting the arcade style games, which were designed to just put money into them.
Yeah. Be so hard that you had to keep playing.
Yeah, you'd have like your quarter games, you have your dollar games, but like in terms of difficulty. But yeah, then that transitioned into the console market and it became a really long time before developers could find that line where they're like, okay, how do we make this hard enough that we're not trying to get money from them because that's not the point of this, but like also still make it playable. So a lot of those games like Contra,
so people can't rent a game for like $3 and beat it in a couple days.
Disney did that with The Lion King. That's why the Roar at the Monkeys Can't Wait to Be King level is so hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah. It's so hard. I do remember beating that game as a kid, and that was one of my greatest achievements.
That's crazy. I like the
original Dark Souls was Lion King.
I made that joke in a tweet like 4 years ago for like a crowd of nobody.
It's true, though. It really, really was.
Yeah, there's a level before I go to make another point. There's a level in the Lion King Genesis game, just while it's fresh in my mind, where it's the Stampede.
And yeah.
What's so fascinating about that is for a 16-bit like side-scrolling platformer game, they actually created the Z-axis where Simba's running away from the Stampede, but he's staying in place, and the hyenas, like the actual like scans of the hyenas, are just getting larger behind him. So it's like creating this whole like idea of a Z-axis, which is just really cool for a game to do in like 94.
They're ahead of its time.
Yeah.
You know, and the movie.
Yeah.
It just couldn't wait to be king.
It just couldn't wait.
Just couldn't wait.
But going back to the DVD statistics, I just wanted to make like a plea for people who may own a 4K TV and may own a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X.
I feel like
and
he's has that talking hooked up right
to
at
the,
me
to the 4K TV. No, I'm just saying, and there's a third, there's a tertiary bit that's important in this Venn diagram, and you're still buying DVDs.
Okay, that's not me.
You have all the means to just go a step further. Pick up the Blu-ray. No one's asking you to go all in. Just like couple extra, what is it, $18 for the DVD of Top Gun and $21 for the Blu-ray? What are you missing out on?
Yeah.
Just upgrade, take advantage, take
28 partial. For the 4K, baby.
That's fine.
You're getting there.
Well, you know, we'll get there. You can be, you know, join the niche of the niche of the niche. That is the 20% of the 4K sales. But just take a step. take a step into just a little bit of the deeper end of the pool of the 30%. And ride that 1080p wave, baby. Get that lossless audio. Get that master audio track and just have a good time. You have a sound bar? You're missing out.
You're missing out.
You're missing out with that sound bar.
And if that hasn't convinced you, viewer, I got two words for you. Come on.
Oh, there you go.
Come on.
What else you got there? You got any more, stats?
No, I mean, it's just like, you know, things about the like, just notes that I wouldn't forget, more or less.
No, for sure.
But, you know, like you got the superior quality. We touched on special features. We touched on. I think a lot of the argument, too, is like with like streamers from like a business standpoint is let's use like Ted Lasso, for an example. Huge hit on Apple TV Plus, I believe is how you describe it. Is that umlaut the, on the U the or is it two O's?
Umlaut.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So there's a real good chance that Apple will never put out a Blu-ray or DVD or 4K UHD release of the three seasons of Ted Lasso, because if they did, why would they get subscribers? And I think it's the same with like Disney Plus, where it's just like, you know, why get you to pay $40 for The Mandalorian once when we can get you $15 a month every month forever to watch The Mandalorian and a bunch of shit you didn't ask for, which is basically just cable.
Yeah.
But it's just that thing, too, just from, you know, it's easy to see. But
and they
also
just raise their prices. Disney Plus and Hulu.
And yeah. And streaming continues just to hemorrhage money unless you're Netflix, because they did it first. Mm-hmm. And it's just I don't think streaming,
if I was going to cancel one today, it would be Disney Plus.
You
suck
so?
My balls. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You're going to lose that Bluey access?
Yes.
Yeah. Oof, man.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
Is this not a Bluey household?
Well, my daughter's not old enough to give a shit yet. And my son doesn't. He's 10. Mm. And I just let him watch stuff he shouldn't have been watching when he was Bluey age. Mm-hmm. So that's how I circumvent. Like, we were watching Shaun of the Dead happily. So I'm like,
okay, yeah.
I'm a bad enough parent where I don't need you, Bluey.
That's true.
I'm a lost cause, Bluey.
Cornetto Walk trilogy, away. Baby. I got you. By the way, Simon Pegg liked my video on Instagram today.
That's nice of him.
It's a really random massage.
Oh, that was nice of him.
I was so pleased.
I bet. Yeah, it's a big deal.
I sent a screenshot to Steve, like, dude, what's Simon Pegg?
I mean, that's definitely a step up from the last celebrity that liked a video that you sent me. You're like, dude, Dane Cook liked my video.
Oh, no. No, Dane Cook's following me.
Oh, he's. Oh,
whoa. Yeah.
Look out, man.
And that famous senator, was it Jeff Jackson or whatever from North Carolina?
The famous Jed Jackson?
No, not Jed Jackson. Oh, okay. It's way different.
That's the dude that actually uses TikTok for political
office. He's following me. And I'm afraid to follow him back because then we'll be mutuals and he'll have like he's the government, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's gonna like message you with like his MLM scheme? Like where he's just like, hey Chris, it's been a long time since I talked to you. I was like, my wife sells Lululemon. And I won't tell you.
I don't know what my actual fear is. I'm just like when I went to follow back, I was like,
Let me ask you a question. You want to be your own boss?
Yeah, he just like ropes me in.
You know three guys? How would you like to get those three guys to work for you?
So we call a check for $6 million. I quit my job right now.
So I guess I am a. Oh, actually, so it was kind of funny. I updated my LinkedIn for the first time in like 6 years because I kind of have to use it for work more often. And I was putting like my new position at work and everything, and I thought, wait a minute. I'm technically a small business owner. Let me just put that in.
Oh, yeah.
And so I put in like, you know, part owner, streaming things, LLC. And then like the next day, LinkedIn sent me a notification. Is streaming things hiring? Do you want to get some people on LinkedIn to work for you at streaming things?
I'm like,
No, we're not. It's not that kind of small business.
I want to make a LinkedIn for former presidents and just call it Abraham LinkedIn.
God damn it, Alex. I fucking love you. That's right up my alley. That's so geared specifically towards me.
That is such a specific Steve thing. Do you know how much he loves presidents?
I've heard it mentioned.
And so corniness.
Abraham Lincoln.
You're so happy. Oh,
you just made my year. Holy shit, that was good. I'm crying.
It is, I just want to be the guy on the show that points out it is not good.
Oh, wait at John Wilkes Booth his joke, you son of a bitch.
Did you say John Wicks Booth?
I need Mr. Wicks. It's Booth.
Yeah, I'm guessing I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm going to the theater.
Semper Tyrannis.
See, there's some deep cut president jokes going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, do you guys want to? I pulled up a list of some of the best or some people's favorite DVD menu Easter eggs.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Lay them on me.
This is from a Reddit post. The top one is, in the Memento 2-disc DVD, you can unlock the chronological version of the film. You put in disc 2, then
fight Psycho Mantis from that control.
Oh, I see you like Castlevania. Yeah, you have to put in disc 2, select the clock, choose the C on the following 5 pages. You'll see a quiz that shows 4 illustrated panels of a woman changing a flat tire in a car. And you basically just got to answer a quiz and then that's
like a CAPTCHA?
Yeah. Like it's like a whole bunch of prompts you have to do. In the menu for House of 1,000 Corpses, if you stay idle on the menu, Captain Spaulding will begin talking trash about you and then start ignoring you in return.
That one I knew just by virtue of passing out.
Shenmue for the Dreamcast.
Yeah. What the fuck is a Shenmue?
Not Shenmue. I'm sorry. God damn it. Seaman.
Shenmue was a great game.
I know. That's a real deep cut for people that no one but me would know that joke.
Like a Mega 64 joke?
Or no, there's a podcast I used to listen to, and I did a podcast with a host, PlayStation Radio UK. My buddy Ben, who co-hosted that, also hosted with a guy named Simon. And so Ben's British, and Simon's like super Scottish, so he has like a real thick, like a relatively thick Scottish accent. And there was this ongoing joke where they would talk about the game Shenmue, and he had never played it, so he would always go, "What the fuck is a Shenmue?"
Okay.
And so whenever anyone brings up that game, I think of Simon in my head. But yeah, there's a ton of them. They talk about the dancing Yoda. Oh, sorry, it was the Revenge of the Sith DVD.
I'm fixing my notes for my video later. Thank you.
Let's see.
You don't want to get corrected in the comments.
God, no. You do a little bit. That's engagement, baby.
There are some odd hidden features.
But not for being fraud.
Right.
The MGM Special Edition DVD of Blue Velvet. The best being David Lynch on camera detailing his favorite menu items from McDonald's. Accessible by highlighting the word special in special features menu. So yeah, there's a bunch of random
stuff. I wonder
stuff.
If I own any of these old DVDs that I can do this
you
on
can
still.
Test it out.
I do have the House of 1,000 Corpses one, but that one I've seen just because I would pass out with the DVD menus on so often.
Yeah.
I think we all would back then. You know, you stand up late watching a movie and you wake up to some weird shit on your DVD
there was
menu.
My old roommate and I would alternate. Some nights I would, or like in mornings, like I would wake up and hear like the horns and saxophones of the Roseanne theme. And then like coming from his room, and then some mornings it'd be like the theremin from Scrubs coming in from my room. Where like we'd just fall asleep to like some random sitcom and the DVDs just looping, or like weird like Simpsons sounds from like the menus and stuff like that. Yeah,
I know. So. I watched this. I used to own the entirety of Weeds. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah, I remember Weeds. Mary Louise Parker.
Ticky tacky little boxing. Anyway. Yep, that was a whole thing. That was a whole era. So let's end it with this. I got a fun idea. Steve, you can't really play. I guess you could.
No!
What is... Do you know who that is?
No.
It's Kurt Russell from Tombstone.
That makes a lot of sense.
The creek scene.
Yeah, no, that is... It
no!
Has, I have never seen a better man in slow motion yelling no firing a gun scene than the one in Tombstone.
It's so good.
It's the best of all time.
No!
With that mustache.
Oh, God. All authentic mustaches.
What is your favorite item that you own of physical media?
I was not expecting that.
I can answer this. I have physical media still.
What's your answer, Steve?
My favorite.
Taylor Swift, 1989, Taylor's version.
I'm happy to have still hung on to my Blu-ray copy of Best in Show.
Really?
Yeah. I still have that.
Like from high school?
Yeah. Still, that one has managed to survive the tides.
That would be that's your favorite movie of all time.
It's like my second favorite. Yeah. Rocky and whatnot.
Steve?
My favorite bit of physical media is I have the vinyl record of Corey Hart's First Offense album that features the song Sunglasses at Night.
Wear my sunglasses at night.
That's special to me because my girlfriend gave it to me because we had a very fun night at karaoke where I sang that song. And it was like our second date, I think, that we kind of like, because I recorded an episode of this with Andy, finished, ran to the bar where she was and met her. And she's like, "I dare you to sing the song." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah." And I had been drinking at this point. So I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely. I'll sing Sunglasses at Night by Corey Hart." And I get on stage and like that's the song starts playing. And I'm like, in the microphone, I go, this is a really bad time to realize I don't know the words to this song.
Oh, no.
So I sang the whole song where I'm like, I would do like, I wear my sunglasses. I got that. But everything else, like,
man. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she gave me that record as a Christmas gift.
So you can practice. So you can learn the words, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The, obviously, the lyrics are in like the liner notes or.
They are. I believe so. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so yeah, it's a vinyl record. I want to get more into collecting vinyl records, actually. That's
me too.
That's
I don't even, like, I don't even have a record player and I'm scared of it. Yeah. Cause I already have so many books and movies.
So with the movies, one, what I've had to do is cause I've caught myself cause before I know it's what a slippery slope it can be to where you're just like, oh, you have by like three and then all of a sudden it's like 30, you know?
Yeah. I've literally bought 30 many times.
I have a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet that I have built myself that tracks the most recent purchases I've made and like how many days it's been since I've made one. So I can't use the whole, like, it's been a while since I've treated myself excuse, but then I have a table of everything that I would love to have that would make like my dream movie library. I have the titles. I have the MSRP price, the max I'm willing to pay, and then the price that I actually paid for them. And then it changes different colors based on how within the price range I am, if I go over or under and whatnot too. But then it breaks out into a whole bunch of other tables from there. So I can see how much money I've spent, how much money I've saved. I need all of
this. That's what you meant earlier.
With my wild ass spreadsheet. Yeah, it's all the stuff I've learned from like working in an office.
When you said we're vastly different people, that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Because I would pay a fucking stupid amount of money mm-hmm. to never have to do what you did with that spreadsheet.
Yeah, my like, wife would, keeps saying I should sell it.
I would.
You like probably she said, should. She said
you should, like you the should algorithm, sell that.
Make an app
like,
about
like
it.
Sell the actual like Excel, like the base spreadsheet. Yeah. Just like all the tabs broken out. All you have to do is plug in the information. As, like,
I
the
wish I was like you.
I had to do not. It. I had to do it. There's rules. I'm not allowed to double dip. I can't do rules. Blind buys. I
Here's the thing.
I had to stop myself from blind buys. I made a separate tab of movies with 4K releases I've never seen that I thought that might look good. And so I can just like over time watch them and see which side of the table they move to, you know?
So I'll do this thing where my collection's so big.
Yeah.
I buy movies I already own and don't know I own.
Oh, no. See, I have them all cataloged in an app.
Fairly often.
Yeah.
Well, I do this thing where I take a picture of my collection uh-huh. and when I'm shopping, it's alphabetical, obviously, because yeah. I'm not a savage.
Sure.
So I'll zoom in and see if I have it.
Get the Blu-ray app.
I have the Blu-ray app. It's fucking trash.
Just scan the barcodes.
And there's no way I'm going to spend the time doing that.
But you only got to do it all that much. But
the good
once.
News is I have like 20 movies I can just give you because I own multiple copies of them.
this is the other thing, right, is I'm working, trying to keep it within the limited shelf space that I have without trying to be like, I've got to move to the next shelves on these like built-in shelves our basement has.
I bought more shelves.
Well, we have built-ins in our basement that like the previous owners had done. And so like I occupy a strip of them.
You're saying you don't want my free unopened movies because they won't fit on your shelf?
No, I will take them. Obviously. I'm just saying every now and then I go, like right now I'm going through a pruning process because it's starting to get a little tight.
I have to get, so I have about 1,000 DVDs and about 2,000 Blu-rays.
That's crazy.
And I need to, obviously I don't want the fucking DVDs, but some of them don't have Blu-ray copies that exist yet.
Yeah.
And some of them I just haven't bought.
Yeah.
So I need to go through and find which DVDs I own mm-hmm. also in Blu-ray and chuck them, meaning sell them.
Chuck.
But I also have like a good 25 Blu-rays that I just got home, went to put on the shelf and went, fucking idiot.
That's crazy.
Like Paul, it's usually it's something innocuous. Like I bought Paul Newman's The Hustler.
Okay. Yeah.
For $5 and then saw it for $5 a year later and was like, oh, what a steal.
They were the hustler.
Indeed.
You got hustled.
Yeah.
But also I have like, I bought a 4K recently that I already owned.
Whoa.
And for Jaws maybe or something.
Okay.
It was not cheap and I felt dumb as shit.
Oh man.
But I'm just bad with money.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
So I can be. And that's why I have that really intricate spreadsheet.
I don't know if it's because I grew up poor. Or
do you
like,
want the spreadsheet?
I won't use it.
I'm just saying if you, just,
I should,
you know, just,
I have a friend who is a millionaire in his early 30s.
Yeah.
Because he drives a used Honda Fit that he bought for $4,000.
Yeah.
Totaled it.
They don't make those anymore.
Got more money from his insurance than he paid for the car.
Yeah.
And he drove it for years and then bought another one just like it. Eats McDonald's, McChickens, buys suits and shoes at Goodwill.
You can say you know Morgan Spurlock.
He's a very frugal person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I laugh at him. And he's like, my kids will never have to work. And I'm like, yeah, but your kids know a sad old man who eats shitty food, wears shitty clothes.
My kids will never have to work. Your kids have never seen Death Race 2000 either.
That's right. That's right.
Who's right now?
That's right. So anyway, but yeah, so support physical media and, you know, also life's short and it's nice to have something you're passionate about, yeah, you know, that you can look at and give yourself joy. Yeah. Steve's got his karaoke, massive porn collection.
Huge.
All kinds of things that bring
him
joy.
I got the steel books.
They're easier to wipe off.
Yeah.
Alex, thank you for coming by the studio. Always good to have you. Alex will be back on later this week to talk about his top five favorite A24 movies. So look forward to that. Tomorrow, our coverage of Forrest Gump is dropping. Look forward to that. And as always, be kind to each other and love what you love.
Do any of you make a, not trying to get spoilers for the Gump episode here, but do either of you make a Forrest Dump or Gumption pun?
No.
No.
It's a shame.
No. Low hanging fruit we left on the tree.
Man. Yeah. I was gonna text you the dictionary definition of gumption and just be like, hey, slam dunk pun somehow. Waiting for you. And I was like, nah, they'll get it.
They'll get there. You have more faith in us than you should have.
We stick to much higher brow humor, like...
Just I'm only here to bring it down.
Imitating his voice.
Yeah.
And saying what was directly said in the movie.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's all we did.
We did go through I don't know. It might be slightly offensive where we kind of imagined like if they made Forrest Gump today, what are the 30 years between the 90s and now that Gump would have lived through?
Oh, 9/11. So,
yeah, that was the one.
Steve went that was straight the one. There. And for no particular reason all.
Oh, no, Katrina.
Everything happened.
Everything bad that happened.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that was a whole section we had fun with. So look forward to that.
That's not why planes go.
Now, some people said jet fuel couldn't melt steel beams, but
I don't know anything about that.
Go to streamingthingspod.com to find other episodes, patreon.com/streamingthings. Follow us on all social medias and just be kind to each other. We appreciate that. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Kit Laser.
I'm Alex.
Damn it, I hit the busted button.
And it's okay, Steve. Buddy. And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming. Or pop in that Blu-ray.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.